Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's the BNS in 20 Minutes or Less podcast. Your daily download of X92.9's X Mornings with Beckler and Shauna.
For House of Cars.
It's Friday, April 16th, 2021. I'm Beckler.
I'm Shauna.
I biked here this morning because my vehicle is still in the shop and it was cold.
Yeah.
The nice thing is that, well, I mean, it had to be up even earlier, but the nice thing is that, like, I was wide awake when the show started. There was no, like, waking up period on the air.
It's funny because I, the odd time, have actually gone to the 24-hour gym before the show. There was a couple days did that when I couldn't sleep. And yeah, it's crazy because then I got in here and I was wide awake, like ready to go then.
I also feel like I'm crashing right now, though.
Yeah.
So.
That is the problem. It's true. We got this email from a friend of the show, Fred, who emails us quite often. And we were talking about Alan the Alpaca earlier on, who you can rent out. He lives in Airdrie, and you can rent him out for parties and everything else. And he comes downtown, and he's the one who we wound up seeing in the back of a truck earlier on this week, which is ridiculous. But Fred said, my coworker hired Alan the Alpaca for her daughter's birthday during COVID last year, and Alan was running late. Here's the message she received. Sorry, he got loose and is running around Marta Loop. He finally stopped when he saw his reflection in a window. Oh my God. Everything about Alan makes me so happy. Like every update we get.
The fact that he stopped when he saw himself, like he was having a real existential crisis at that moment. He's going nuts, kicking around Marta Loop, and then, what am I?
Is that me? Alan?
This isn't who you are, Alan.
Alan? Alan? Alan?
The BNS in 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
Have you watched that Netflix show, This Is a Robbery?
No, I haven't, but my brother was telling me about it. He said it was really good.
Yeah, it was. I watched the series over the last little while, and it's about the largest art heist in history, and it happened back in 1990. And it's actually crazy because still to this day, they have no idea who took these paintings worth $500 million. Like, not a clue.
They never got them back?
Nope. These robbers just walked into this museum, stole $500 million worth of paintings, which shouldn't have been able to happen to begin with, and they have not been able to trace it. They're still missing. So that's what it's about.
My brother said, was this in Boston?
Yeah.
Because my brother said they did it on St. Patrick's Day?
Yeah.
Knowing the police would be tied up?
Yep. So which genius.
Wow. And then what do you do? Like, how do you sell that? Is there some vast underground network of, like, stolen art? And
they assume it was probably mafia-related, whether it was the Irish mafia or the Italian mafia. And, of course, those two have, like, tons of connections underground. So they think that they immediately kind of got it out of there. And then someone in some place somewhere in the world probably has these incredible Monets just hanging in their living room.
But no proof, hey?
No proof.
And amazing that it's never come out.
I know.
Like, you walk into someone, you're like, that's an original Monet.
Yep.
Oh, okay.
I know. So crazy. Anyway, one of the funny things about the last episode was that there was a news reporter and they were showing this guy and he was about to do a live hit. And of course, he was talking kind of normally, joking around. And then live hit time comes and he jumps into the best news voice. Just classic. Now, it's not the strongest news voice, but when you hear the switch from just regular chatter to, I love when you can see that comparison. So just listen here.
You get a nice zoomer there. They're bagging and tagging, baby. Okay. Federal agents searching a reputed mobster's home in Manchester. And it
normal voice, talking a little weird, but normal voice.
Yeah, just.
You get a nice zoomer there. They're bagging and tagging, baby.
Weird.
Okay. But federal agents searching a reputed
federal agents
mobster's
searching a reputed mobster's house. Connected.
It's like he just put something into his nose to instantly make it super nasally, you know? Oh, yeah, okay, let me put in my nose plug here. Federal agents. Like,
let me get out my news clothespin.
Hilarious. I love it. It's like when people talk about us like having radio voices and we're like, no, our voices are pretty similar on the radio as to in real life. That never used to be the case, but it is now.
I probably have more of a phone voice than I have a radio voice.
Yes.
I think I probably sound more natural now than I do if I'm like calling a business.
It's true.
Good afternoon. I'm just
Yes. Hi, how are you today? Oh, I'm great, thank you. I have a question.
And I don't do it on purpose. No. Just, I get nervous.
I know, like, me too. Put that on the air. I don't know why.
It's funny, some of those news voices. Sean, when you were away, and I did like a Dateline spoof,
yes,
trying to figure out who plugged the toilet with a poop down here. Mm-hmm. And I was trying to do, is it Lester Holt? Is that who hosts, yeah, Dateline? I was trying to do his voice, and I did it once, and then I listened back, and I was like, nope. That
not
I need
even
to,
enough.
You need to go more. Like, you have to like have more rise and fall in your voice to the point that it feels ridiculous when you do it.
Yes. Well, because you lose some of it when it goes over the airwaves, and they know that. So they really play it up. Federal agents.
Like, federal just, agents are, like, investigating, whoa, a disappearance that could be mob related.
Yes. Really punch it. You know, you really need to punch everything there.
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
Bo's watching this show on Netflix called Stone Age. And I was sitting with him last night. I was doing something on my phone. I wasn't really watching.
Yeah.
And then I glanced up and I noticed that some of the characters in the show are these cave women with huge, huge chests, Shauna. Like, huge, huge yugs.
You know? Really?
And yeah, giant guns. And I was like, who's animating these cartoons, you know? You may have heard the internet joke about the Pixar mom body.
Yeah.
How all the moms in the Pixar movies have the same figure. They have, like, tiny waists, huge dumpers.
Hmm.
So I'm like, is this the animation style?
Just enhancing one thing or the other to comically so? Or?
Are they trying to copy? Like, are they trying to copy the Pixar style? And who started that? Like,
yeah.
We watched this show on Netflix called Jurassic Park Camp Cretaceous,
yeah,
animated show. Great family show, by the way, if you're looking for one. But the female characters in that show are all thick. Like, thick with,
like,
4 or 5 C's, Shauna.
Like, so they've got some jompers on
them,
is what you're saying?
Some,
yeah.
Chair slappers. Chesty and chair slappers.
Oh, okay.
So I'm, yeah, like, who's animating these?
Someone who.
Is it all independent? Independent animators who all, like, are going for the same look, or are they all trying to copy the Pixar mom body style, or is
maybe
it?
That's just what they, yeah, like, you know? They like to envision and giant orbs on, yeah, everyone. And
huge mud skippers,
yeah,
these women. Like,
oh, yeah. Massive, suppose, honk otters just walking around. And
honk otters.
Huh.
I mean, I suppose maybe it's a good thing that they're not depicted stick thin anymore.
Yeah. But except you are. That's the funny part, is that the waist is still impossibly thin, and then they just have a giant hobbit hole along with it. You're like, that's still completely unrealistic.
Giant sweater puppies, tiny little waist that,
oh, yeah,
probably couldn't even have any organs in it,
mm-hmm,
and then just a huge old storm sewer on.
Oh, my God, yeah, the balloons, and then to mug that with a tugboat, and you're like, okay, what is going on here?
Impossibly proportioned, you're right. Which,
yeah.
I mean, I think too much has been made of the shape of toys and of cartoon characters and stuff. Like, they're not supposed to be realistic.
It's true.
They're drawings, right? Like, all of the characters I grew up watching had ridiculous muscles, ridiculous physiques. Like, mm-hmm, the kind of physique that you could only get if you did, like, a pro wrestling amount of steroids.
Yeah.
And
I mean, yeah, superheroes, right? When you think, like, they all have to have those physiques.
Yeah.
They're superheroes, so, yeah.
And I don't think I, like, grew up thinking, like, oh, I'm never going to look like Venom, you know? Like,
yeah. Yeah, it's true. I know. I mean, it's kind of like, it's like when you get a caricature drawing, right? It's all just kind of exaggerated.
Right, it's exaggerated, yeah, including your chest and your foof.
You're ever
good. If you're a cartoon mom these days.
The BNS in 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
Was there a specific hotel that you went to as a kid, Beckler, that had an epic water slide?
Oh, hell yeah.
So water, yeah, slides, I find, stick with you. I don't remember much from being a kid, but I vividly remember every water slide that I went to. It's still all back there.
That was like half of the trip,
yeah,
wherever you were going. Like, does the hotel have a pool?
Yeah.
Yes. Does it have a water slide?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. All right.
Oh, yeah.
Here we go.
Oh, yeah. I'd imagine a lot of people here, it might be West Edmonton Mall, right? Because,
yeah,
of course, that water park would be a fancy little retreat. If you were lucky, you'd stay at the Fantasyland Hotel and get to play in that water park.
Pretty tough to beat that water park around here.
It is. I was wondering, though, if there are some other kind of well-known water slides around here, or, you know, it would be, I guess, the outskirts of town and stuff. But
yeah, there's that one. It's a hotel that has a pretty good water park inside of it. Is it a Best Western? Is it the Port of Call?
Yes.
Is that the one I'm thinking of?
That is the one. You're okay. Right. Now that you
I haven't been
that.
There, but I've heard it's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Somebody had mentioned that to me a while back, now that you say that.
When my parents come and visit, they always stay at the Delta on McLeod, and it's got It's got a water slide called the Big Gusher.
Yeah. It's a good
name for a water slide, isn't
strange
it?
Strange name, but... So,
yeah, that's a good one. My boys love it.
Actually, I remember there's... Is that the one that on the sign it advertises that?
It says Big Gusher. Yeah. Right on the cloud trail.
They know.
Yeah.
They know.
And there's a kid coming screaming out of there.
Oh, yeah.
I was always a big fan of Days Inn has a certain type of water slide, and I think other hotels have them too now, but it's like three quick spirals in a tube, and it goes so fast.
It gets you going so fast by the throw that you're shooting out of there.
You can skid across the water if you do it right. So that was always fun. Yeah. It's funny because we're playing a commercial on the air right now for a hotel in Edmonton. I think it's a Best Western in Edmonton, and it says in the commercial, fast water slide. Because they know.
Not just a water slide, but a fast one.
And if you're a kid,
that's
you need
important.
To know.
Yeah. You do need to know that.
You don't want to get there and see this crappy little water slide. You want to know the water slide rips.
No. When I was growing up, I was super lucky because Wild Water Kingdom, that massive water park, was right by my house. That was right near Brampton. So we got to go to Wild Water Kingdom. And I swear, I could still draw the map of every water slide in that place. From being a kid. That was magical. But there was also a hotel we used to drive from Toronto to Thunder Bay. And halfway is Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario. And in the Sault, there was a hotel. And it had one of those water slides that was exploding out of the hotel. So you could see it for miles.
Like the one that's attached to... Oh, I'm drawing a blank again.
There's a few of them.
Up in the northeast here, there's a leisure center where... Because I remember my hockey team came here when I was young and we went to that water park. Mm-hmm. And I think it was called the Pepsi Thunder Run.
Oh.
It was sponsored by Pepsi at the time, and it like leaves the building several times.
That's what this one did.
This is awesome.
You could we would be coming to Sault Ste. Marie, and I could sniff it out. I'd be the first one to be able to spot that water slide coming out of that hotel, and I'd be putting my bathing suit on in the car. I'm like, we are that close.
Kids love it. Parents love it because the kids go to the water park and the parents get the room to themselves.
Exactly.
Get to do a bit of the goat's jig, as you called it.
Goat's jig.
The BNS in 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
I was tidying up my social media accounts yesterday, just kind of like going through and removing some people who aren't active anymore, who like don't use the platforms.
Oh, interesting.
Because as dumb as it is, apparently the ratio of following to followers matters to some people. A friend of ours, he told me about this. He was in the running for this wicked media job, but they told him his follower ratio didn't look good enough.
That's ridiculous.
Like, he had a bunch of followers, but he was also following too many people, and they didn't like the looks of that.
Wow.
Yeah. And this was for a real job, like a good job.
That seems crazy to me. Like, I understand if you're somebody, because there's some people who will just go and follow everybody and then unfollow them to try and get followers, which I think is
the old
cheap.
Fitness account trick.
Yeah. So that's one thing. I understand that. But if somebody just happens to over time follow...
He just followed back everyone who followed him. So I think his feed was like fairly useless to use because he had so many people he was following.
Who cares in terms of this job, though? Why does that matter?
They cared because it's all about...
Look.
They want an influencer.
Oh my
they want
God.
Someone who has a bunch of followers. And if you're following a bunch of people, then that means that...
That's crazy.
It's not the same as having actual influence, right? Even though he kind of does. But so we had to unfollow a bunch of people. So anyways, I was just going through some of the people I followed a long time ago on Twitter and Instagram who haven't used the platform in 4 or 5 years. And I noticed something. On one of those platforms, I unfollowed well over 100 people. And on the other, I unfollowed only about 10 people who were inactive. Can you guess which was which?
Well, didn't Twitter recently delete inactive accounts? They were talking about how they were going to do that if your account wasn't active for a certain amount of time. So,
interesting.
I would say Twitter just because of that, but I don't know.
But then I wouldn't be able to unfollow them if their account was deleted. It would have been automatically deleted.
Yeah.
So these accounts were all still there.
Oh, weird. I don't know.
It was Twitter. And I figure that, like, I don't know, people maybe signed up for Twitter early on and then kind of saw how it operated and were like, yeah, this isn't for me. Like,
and Twitter is an older platform, right? So there's a lot of people who would have maybe signed up, right at the beginning and then...
Good point.
They've moved on since then.
Good point. Yeah, and Instagram, almost everybody that I followed over the years are still somewhat active on the platform.
Yeah.
And I figured that's maybe just because I've always said, like, Twitter is by far the most negative platform.
It is.
Facebook has its problems for sure, but Twitter is just, like, people shrieking at each other.
Yep. It's poison. It really is.
And Instagram, I think, is the most positive of the social media platforms because people just share photos of things that they like, right?
Yep.
Here's my dog. Here's a meal I cooked. Here's a vacation I took. Here's something here's my boyfriend who I like.
Not to mention, people share more opinions on Twitter as well. Yep. So there's a good chance that maybe they'd, no need to get off there after. Who knows?
That was my theory, too.
Yeah.
But I was surprised that that many more people had stopped using Twitter, at least in my, like on my accounts, than Instagram. So
yeah. VNS in 20 minutes or less. Is track and field day still a thing in schools?
You mean this year or like in general?
In general, not this year, obviously. I understand that would have to be on hold. But I saw a kid with a freezy yesterday and it just brought flashbacks to track and field day at my school.
Because he had a freezy?
Yeah. We used to get freezies on track and field day. It was part of it. I don't know why that's the connection I made, but that was the best damn day of the year.
It was a great day.
You'd show up, no school. You just show up in your runners. You go and frolic outside all day. You'd race.
Yep.
You'd go and do the high jump, the long jump, the shot put.
Did you have to pick the events that you wanted to be part of? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I forget how many we got to pick, but
I forget now too. Yeah, I always did the 100 and 200 meter dash because I was fast, and I do the high jump because I was tall.
Yeah, I did high jump, long jump, and shot put.
Mm.
I wasn't very fast.
You did the also shot put, hey?
Oh, yeah.
Oh. Yeah, that never really appealed to me.
One of the bigger kids, but
fair.
And then, okay, so, and then if you won at your school track meet, did you get to go represent your school at the city meet?
I don't think we had a city meet.
You didn't have a citywide meet? How did you win city championships? How did you...
We didn't have city...
What?
Beckler, this is we've talked about Brampton. Okay, I think they just thought that kids from different schools mingling was just a danger. There was probably something like that. I don't know. But we didn't have a city meet.
We've got rival gangs here today at track and field.
Seriously. They'd pretend they were gangs. It was a thing. But anyway.
Yeah, that was exciting because if you...
And I think they limited... Even better.
They limited how many events you could represent the school at because otherwise, like, the two or three freakish athlete kids in your schools would...
Right.
Would do all of them. But...
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember going to cities for shot put and for high jump. But then you'd get there and just get whooped because there were kids who were like, track was their sport, track and field, where it was just like something... We did on one day of the year.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's very true.
Yeah.
I know. And that I remember making it to the finals and it was me and a girl who actually like nationally raced track. And I'm like, well, this is going to be embarrassing. Like, there's no way I'm going to beat you. Clearly. Still fun to be there, though. Got the little ribbons. Yeah. And then we'd have a barbecue. We'd get burgers and freezies.
Nice. And then if you won cities, you got to go to provincials. You didn't have that? I think, I don't know if I still do, but the last time I checked, like before you got to do shot put, there was ball throw when you were too young. They thought like throwing a shot put would hurt you. Mm. So you could throw a softball the furthest.
Oh.
And I think I still hold the record for ball throw at my elementary school.
Damn.
So
that's
and then,
amazing.
Like at our high school, all the track and field records are listed in the gym, the people who hold them. And some of them go back like 40 years, which is pretty cool.
I was deprived.
You were deprived.
My school was, we didn't even have a football team at one point because they were afraid of the violence that was breaking out on the field. So that's how my school operated.
You went to a big school too, didn't you?
It was a big school. Yeah. Huge school. That day was still fun though, even if we didn't get to move on, okay?
It was the best if it was nice out.
Oh, it was always so hot, warm. We'd always have to wear those pinnies as well that reeked permanently of BO and were never washed.
Gross, yep.
That was the part that wasn't so good. The rest of it though, perfect. VNS in
20 minutes or less. I have a very scarring moment from track and field day 1 year. And it was a sprint. It was the, I think, 200 meter dash or something. And I won our heat. So I was supposed to go on. And when I went back to check if you made it to the finals down the line at the end of the day, and they like put your, you know, they record your times and then tell you. And when I got to the list, I noticed that they put my time beside the girl who was older in my heat, who clearly lost. But it was almost like they didn't note my name. So then they just assumed that the older girl was the one who won the heat. And they put my...
Just a mix-up?
It was a mix-up. And so I went to them and I was like, no, like, I won this heat. Like, she was actually the slowest in the heat. I was like, no, that's my time. And the two girls kind of looked at me who were organizing the event and they were like, oh, well, yeah, too bad. And then the girl who lost and knew that she lost, she was clearly way slower. She didn't say anything.
She just let it go?
She let it go. And she went and ran the finals race and embarrassed herself because she was super slow and shouldn't have been in there.
Speak up, girly.
And she didn't say anything. She was like, oh, yeah, that's weird. Oh, well, like shrugs and then goes into the race.
Did you see me cross the finish line ahead of you?
Yeah.
Were you looking at my back?
It really sucked.
And it should be me there.
Yes. I was in grade 9 and she was in grade 10. And I like, whoa. I didn't have the confidence to really stand my ground on the issue. So I kind of just backed off and let it happen. But that to this day gets my goat. Okay,
like, and rightfully so. You got hosed by the sounds
of it. I got hosed. I didn't get to enter the final. She lost horribly and embarrassed herself. All of it was just not good.
I put myself in the 800 meters one year, and I didn't realize how far 800 meters is. And right off the bat, I was running way too hard. And I don't think I finished. I don't think I finished. I think I was on like lap two, and I was like,
yeah,
nope.
No.
No, this one's not for me. And just like walked over and got a pop or something.
You're like, no.
VNS in 20 minutes or less. You love your car. Bet you'd love lower interest and lower payments too. Refinance your auto loan with House of Cars and love the freedom of having more money in your pocket. Visit houseofcarscalgary.com.
The VNS in 20 minutes or less podcast.
If you were getting fired, Shauna, and I... As far as I know, you're not. This isn't to freak anybody out. Would you prefer to be fired on a certain...
Yeah, thanks for that on Friday.
Well, that's it. Would you prefer to be fired on a certain day of the week?
Actually, probably Friday.
Yeah? My mom and I were talking about this yesterday, and I said, don't they usually fire people on Fridays? And she said that at her work, they actually have a policy not to fire people on Fridays because they don't want that person to be alone dealing with it on the weekend.
But no, because then you get together with your friends and drink on the weekend.
That's what I thought. And I said, also, if you, like, there's someone's still going to be alone no matter what day you fire them on, right? Mm-hmm. They're going home. They're not. It's not like you get to stay at the office for support. Like, you're gone then.
No.
So, that's what I thought. Like, I thought people are in a better mood on a Friday. You already know you're not going into work tomorrow anyway, so it's probably less of a blow than, you know, just being off on a Wednesday.
I think I was laid off on a Monday. The one time that I was laid off from radio, I think it was actually a Monday. And you're right, because I was laid off first thing in the morning. And then I couldn't tell anyone because there were more layoffs coming later on in the day. So I had to walk out of the office, pretend that I was coming back, and then couldn't talk to anyone. And it was awful. It was just like, what do I do now? I don't have a job anymore, and I can't tell anybody.
What's to stop you from talking to people? You're like, I don't work here anymore, as of just a moment ago. Hey, everyone.
Yeah.
There are layoffs coming.
Although, I mean, just in the industry, it probably wouldn't be a great thing to do, you know?
Probably not.
Did they ask, like that?
Hey, if you wouldn't mind, we like to have these conversations privately with people.
And they said, just give us a couple hours because the next people were getting laid off within the next 2 hours. Okay. So I had to wait just a couple hours before. So
you did it out of courtesy.
I did. Yeah, you're right. I could have done the other thing. But yeah, it's that would be even worse, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, like, I mean, it doesn't really matter where the weekend falls. If you fire someone on a Tuesday, guess what? Your weekend starts on Wednesday.
Yes.
Like, how would you like?
And the rest of the people are working throughout the week, though. So it's like,
yeah, that seems worse to me.
It does.
You know, everyone else is going to work, and you're not. So
yeah, no. I mean, the weekend gives you a couple days to just have some drinks with some friends.
Yeah, and then you could regroup and deal with it on Monday. Okay, Monday I start my job search, as opposed to getting like smacked in the face on a Tuesday or a Monday. Although the nice thing about getting canned on a Monday is like maybe you don't want to be there.
Fair.
You're just like, ugh, Monday. They're like, hey, you can go home.
Sweet, I got a week off. And then the week after that.
Oh, boy.
VNS in 20 minutes or less.
Etymology with Shauna.
So somebody said the term blow smoke up your ass recently. And I was like, oh, that's interesting.
That's graphic, isn't it?
Where did that come from? Yeah, why is that a thing? Yeah, the whole thing, just you're like, well, you're weird, you know? Well, I did the research on this a little bit, and my God, did that take me on a journey I'm not sure I was ready for. So in the 1700s, doctors literally blew smoke up people's rectums. Blowing smoke up the ass was an actual medical procedure back then. It was a solution for a lot of different things, but the biggest one was it was used to resuscitate people. So you know how now, if somebody isn't breathing, you'd use CPR or a defibrillator if one's nearby. Back then, if somebody wasn't breathing, you'd rush up to the person and literally blow smoke up their ass. They would take a tube, insert it into your foof, and then this tube was connected to a fumigator and a bellows, and they'd compress it and blow smoke right into your dumper. This was a thing. Look it up. I am not joking. So the idea
was... How does that not, like, kill the person? Wouldn't that, like, rupture?
No. No, they did it lots, and it didn't rupture things, so I guess not.
And then they'd blow smoke foofs?
Mm-hmm. So the reasoning, if you're wondering why this was a thing, it wasn't just completely random. So the idea was that it was nicotine that they would use. So it was thought to stimulate the heart to beat it stronger and faster to encourage respiration, right? So
I'm guessing in the 1700s, they didn't know that the heart and bum weren't connected.
Well,
like your bum doesn't lead directly to your heart.
No, but I guess they thought it was just a way to get the nicotine into your veins quicker, which then would fire up the heart.
Okay, I guess so.
Yeah. They also thought the smoke would warm the victim from the inside by removing excess moisture. Okay, so that was part of the idea of resuscitating like a drowning victim, right? That was the big thing. It was so common at one point, though, that they actually had these kits that would be on the side of the river, and it would have all the stuff needed to resuscitate somebody in case you saw a drowning victim, so you could go and you could then literally blow smoke up their ass to try and resuscitate them.
So. Jeez, and we look back and think like bloodletting sounds silly.
Mm-hmm.
That seems totally rational like, compared to this.
If you didn't have a bellow, could Terry just take a dart and light that right under your ass? Would that work? Like,
you got to get it in there somehow.
I go, oh,
gonna
gosh.
Need to.
Is that where the term light a fire under your ass came from?
Maybe.
Oh, I don't
I guess when did it become like used? Because how would you describe the term now? How would you define the way that we use it now? You'd say.
To like encourage somebody to get moving kind of thing.
Blow smoke up their ass? Isn't it kind of lying to them? Kind
you're
of
right.
Like,
yes. No, it's like, yeah. Embellishing them almost like, yeah. How we got to that, Beckler, I don't know. I just I stopped at this part of the etymology because I was just like, this is insane to me. So there you go.
Wow. Okay.
This is.
Thanks for going into.
A territory that I didn't know I needed to.
That vortex for us, Shauna.
Yeah, no problem.
Etymology with Shauna.
The BNS in 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
I was watching the news last night, and there was a story about how Nunavut has their first confirmed case of COVID in Iqaluit.
Oh, wow.
The person works for an airline, and they're isolating and doing the full contact tracing thing and everything. But, I mean, obviously, you know, these remote northern communities are especially vulnerable, so there's a level of concern there. But I thought this was funny. The anchor was like throwing it to the reporter in the field. And they're like, our northern correspondent so-and-so is following that story and joins us from Yellowknife. And I was like, well, that's pretty far from Iqaluit.
Not the same thing.
Not even close.
No. Like, huh.
I measured it on Google
they
Maps.
They have one person
they
for
do.
All of the north.
They're 2,200 kilometers apart, those
that's
two cities.
That's crazy.
So,
yeah, okay.
You're right. We treat the north as like one place, but like that is very far apart, right? Like a reporter in Quebec would have as much perspective on Nunavut as someone in Yellowknife would, wouldn't they?
Yep. Well, it's so funny because I have, you know, relatives in Europe, and trying to explain to anybody how big Canada is unfathomable to them. Like we used to drive from Toronto to Thunder Bay in Ontario, mm-hmm. in the same province, and trying to explain that to someone from, let's say, Ireland, they were like, excuse me, and how far is that? And it's like, well, it's about a 16-hour drive or so. You know, it's about 1,600 kilometers. Excuse me? And that's the same province. That's not even leaving the province. That's not the country. And yeah, no one, they're like, I don't get that. That makes no
Western
sense.
Ontario is huge, isn't
it's
it?
It's insane. Like,
you can drive for a full day in this country and really see nothing.
Yes.
Like really see nothing noteworthy. That's
A friend of mine used to live in Fort Frances, and it's 1,600 or 1,700 kilometers in the same province of nothing.
Well, so I was thinking like, you know, someone who lives in Yellowknife and someone who lives in Iqaluit will probably never visit those two cities. There's literally nothing in between those two places. So,
unless you take a plane, right?
If you took a plane, but even then, like, I guess unless you had business there, there would be
no need to
really no reason to go, right?
Yeah.
So, I guess at least this news outlet had a northern correspondent. That's
true.
That's positive because I feel like those people really get ignored.
Now, were they actually a correspondent or was it just someone that lives up there that like, could you just report this for us, please? Because
we're going to mail you a microphone and a jacket.
Mm-hmm.
Put this on a logo
jacket.
Look
official. Okay, practice your news voice and you're golden.
Following this story is our reporter who is nowhere near there.
No.
Tell us, what are you seeing? Well, not a lot. I'm 2,200 kilometers away.
And I'm not a reporter.
You've been listening to the B&S in 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
For House of Cars. Until January 15th, enter to have House of Cars wipe out your debt for free. No strings attached. Visit houseofcarscalgary.com.
You want more? Then tune in to X Mornings with Beckler and Shauna live on Calgary's alternative X92.9. Monday through Friday, 6 to 10 a.m. Mountain Time at x92.9.ca. And don't forget to subscribe to this podcast and have B&S in 20 Minutes or Less downloaded daily to whatever device you use. Later.